السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome, أهلا وسهلا. Welcome to الذكريات, and I'll be your host, Tasneem, leading you up to the next hour, inshallah, just before the 3 o'clock news. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. We begin in the name of Allah, إن الحمد لله نحمد ونستعين ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to the Adhikrayat show, where we talk about how to reclaim your magic and how to make the right choices to create a life that you love. And I believe choice is empowering, complacency is boring, and happy looks really, really good. Alhamdulillah. I'm your host, Tasneem, and today we're talking all about abuse. It's a very difficult topic to speak about, and you know, most people would rather shy away from topics like this, but I think it's very pertinent that we discuss things like this, inshallah, so that we can be empowered with knowledge and inshallah prevent and stop the cycle of abuse, inshallah. So a lot of discussions that we have about abuse or domestic abuse, domestic violence, sometimes this is misunderstood and often misinterpreted according to the ayahs of the Quran, you know, which supposedly gives people the justification. But what I've noticed is that a lot of the time we don't address people that have been abused. Women that have been abused in a marriage, sometimes even husbands or children. It's not necessarily only females that are being abused. Maybe physically, emotionally, verbally, even sexually speaking. But what I really wanted to do, you know, today, I really wanted to talk about in today's show is to people who are in abusive relationships, people who have suffered abuse or neglect, and what they should think about. One thing is to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let these things go unpunished or unnoticed, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow your pain or your patience to go unrewarded. Allah hears and sees everything, and inshallah justice will prevail. Akhirah is the perfect place for justice, and Allah knows everything. So that's the Akhirah, and Allah is most just. And when you have Allah on your side defending you, then you have everything, subhanAllah. But what do we do in dunya? What do we do now? What do we do with this abuse? How do we, you know, get help? How do we realize and come to the understanding that, you know, calling abuse what it is? How should we deal with these matters of abuse? So this is what I'd like to address in today's show. The lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. And the number to SMS is 082-551-3885. So I think firstly, you need to, you know, not feel ashamed to speak up. We need to, number one, report the abuse. Numerous studies have shown that this is a vicious cycle. You know, people need to understand that people have been abused, people that have been abused are more likely to become perpetrators, are more likely to become abusers themselves. So it's important to stop that cycle. If you are a wife that has been beaten by your husband, or, for, you know, let's not be sexist or stereotypical, if you are a husband that's been beaten up by your wife, don't let your culture or your community guilt you into silence. And so thinking that by being quiet, you're doing a favor. You're not doing anyone a favor. You're not doing yourself a favor. You're not doing your children a favor. And you're definitely not doing society a favor. And you know, through these violent crimes, it's giving Islam a bad name. And this is totally, totally against the Sharia. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam based our entire deen on hub, on love. Loving your creation, every creation of Allah, loving the ants. There's even an ayat in the Quran and a whole chapter dedicated to the preservation of ants and how to look after the creation of Allah. So why would we want to hurt another human being? This I do not understand, and how we equate this to Islam really baffles my mind. Then this must be some other version of Islam, and definitely not the one Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam brought as a mercy to mankind. So violent, you know, when we think of the cycle, children growing up in abusive and violent homes grow up with serious psychological issues and sometimes turn into abusers themselves. Or if they're not abusers themselves, they attract this vicious cycle and attract abusers or perpetrators as partners or future life partners in terms of their spousal relationships. Because they've witnessed this their entire lives, this becomes their norm. You might also be risking your life. You know, women that remain silent, your life is in danger. Your children's lives are in danger. Because if someone is guilty of continuous abuse, then what's going to stop them? And it might be something that triggers a stronger emotion that leads to an even greater transgression or an even greater incident. So let us prevent this. So it's important for you to understand that you know that no matter what people say and no matter what your culture, you know, suggests that you're not doing a favor to anyone or anybody by staying in an abusive relationship. And it is an important matter despite the hit that your reputation might take. Because many a times we care about what people have to say. And this is natural, might not be the healthiest thing, but we live in community, we live in societies where this is prevalent. And, you know, we need to take this into cognizance. But, you know, we need to go ahead and we need to take the steps to stop the abuse. And the only way, the first step to stop the abuse is to speak up against this abuse. And this is something that is well documented in our deen. And even backbiting at this point is not considered backbiting when you are seeking help. Subhanallah. You know, in my practice, being a therapist myself, many a times I have people coming in that are wanting to better themselves, that want to take responsibility for their actions, and sometimes need to relay certain events or certain incidences. And in that setting, in a therapeutic sense, or in a sense where you're taking responsibility for your actions and you're getting to know yourself better. And by doing this, inshallah, you're not only getting to know yourself better, but man arafa nafsahu arafa rabbahu, because they who know themselves, truly they know their Lord. So it becomes a setting of ibadah, inshallah. And in this setting, ghibat is not considered. It's not considered to be backbiting. So don't feel guilty for speaking up. Don't think that you are doing anything un-Islamic when you report an abuser. Another thing I'd like to share with you, and I hope you would take this into consideration, there are times you are left with a lot of questions, and many of my clients, especially in situations like this, are looking for closure. You cannot get closure from somebody that you didn't get love from. Subhanallah, I think that goes so much deeper into understanding the mind and the psyche of a perpetrator. For somebody that loves you, they're not going to abuse you. So I can't even imagine. I would be a fool to sit here and assume that I can feel your pain and the pain of the people that I come across that have been abused in our communities, whether it's spousal abuse or being abused sexually, or even for that matter, adult survivors of sexual abuse. There's one thing you need to understand. You can feel sorry for yourself and not do anything about it and allow yourself to fail in all other aspects of life. Because this is what happens when you're not in a good space emotionally. It's very, very difficult for you to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a spiritual connection. Because when your emotional state goes down, your spiritual state naturally goes down. So one thing is about being sad. Alhamdulillah, and there's nothing wrong with this. I think we spoke a lot about the difference between sadness and despair on last week's show. But just to recap what we spoke about, sadness is from the sunnah. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt sad on many occasions. Just thinking about the occasion of Taif, the incident of Taif, that was a very sad day for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in that sadness, there was hope. Because when the angel came down with a commandment from Allah to say that he is ready to take the two mountains and destroy the people of Taif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, just wait a minute. Perhaps one of their youth, one of their progeny, might recite the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Maybe one of them would be Muslim. Look at the vision of your Nabi and my Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Look at the vision of this man, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not getting caught up in that emotion, that negative emotion, but using this emotion as a platform for hope and having that vision to see hope in that community. Subhanallah. So this is sadness. This is not despair. Despair is when we lose hope. La tahzan, Allah says in the Quran, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. So there's a huge difference. Despair is from shaitan. Shaitan's biggest trick is for us to lose hope. hope in ourselves, hope in Allah, hope in the mercy of Allah, hope in forgiveness, just generally to lose hope. And we mustn't lose hope, especially when we find ourselves in difficult situations. Allah is not punishing you. This dunya is testing ground. Allah says in the Quran, I will test you with your health, your wealth, and your children. It's a given. That's written. Don't think you can say La ilaha illallah and not be tested. Subhanallah. So we need to understand what is our purpose in dunya. We need to understand why we go through certain situations. But I think just in this, you know, speaking about this rather difficult position of abuse or being in a relationship of abuse, there's one thing we need to understand is you can sit and you can feel sorry for yourself, but we need to shift from victim to survivor. Because if you don't, you're going to fail. You're going to fail spiritually. You're going to fail in your career. You're going to fail in your duties as a mother, as a friend, as a daughter, you know. And that would only make the abuser even more happy. That would make the perpetrator happier because he or she wants you to fail. That would only make Shaitan happier. What do you get out of self-pity? What are you going to accomplish as a result of self-pity? And alhamdulillah, we live in a context where help is all around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends help in all forms, whether it's reporting it to the authorities, or seeking help from the ulama, or seeking help from social services. There are so many avenues that we can turn to. But you need to take that first step, inshallah. So rather take it as a mission for yourself to not only climb out of that hole, and not only to overcome that distress, but to stop other people and other abusers, and make that your life mission to help others in that situation. And this is the narrative of a survivor. When we're shifting from victim to survivor, justice is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't allow yourself to fail. You can't fail. You have one shot at life. And just because you're in a situation like this doesn't mean it has to be your life sentence. It might be a life lesson. It doesn't have to be a life sentence. We need to speak about this more openly. We need more people to make this their mission and to provide support to those that are suffering in silence. Allah does not want you to suffer, you know, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with you. It's not an easy situation to be in. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal you and to take care of your pain. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you paradise and as a result of your hardship. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow you to achieve greatness, not only in the akhirah, because that is your guaranteed for the patient one, but rather also in this dunya by overcoming self-pity and all the obstacles that have been placed in front of you. Allahumma ameen. I know October month is the month for domestic violence and awareness, but Islam does not tolerate and cannot tolerate domestic violence and abuse. And in Islam, every single day is a day about raising awareness. So we're not going to wait for October month to speak about matters of domestic violence and awareness. And I thought that it was rather urgent that we speak about it today and every other day. You know, Islam is a religion of peace, compassion, and mercy. So, you know, Allah says, ittaqillah, fear Allah. And inshallah, by fearing Allah, that love for Allah will come into our hearts and we'll be more conscious of every action that we take. Inshallah. So for those of you that are in situations like this, I think it's time that we speak up, we end the silence, we end the suffering, and we make this our life mission and our life purpose, inshallah, to make a difference, not only in our lives, but to our children's lives and to society and communities at large, inshallah. And we will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, you're on Medium Wave 1548, Radio Islam International, and this is the show all about reminders for the believers called Ad-Dhikrayat, and I'm your host, Tasneem. Today we're speaking all about abuse. A very difficult topic to speak about, but inshallah it's something that we need to bring to the forefront and, you know, open those lines of discussion and inshallah stop the cycle of abuse. Did you know that one in every three South African children are sexually abused before the age of 16? And the rate of sexual abuse of boys exceeds that of girls. So the stat is ridiculously high. You know, child sexual abuse is any sexual act or attempts to commit sexual acts with a child, with or without the child's consent. So the statutory definition of rape in 2007 Sexual Offences Act includes all forms of sexual penetration and is gender neutral, meaning that any person can commit an act of rape or be raped. Normally we would think the perpetrator to be male, but like the law says, it could be female as well. Children under the age of 12 cannot consent to sexual relations because they do not have the maturity to understand the consequences of their decision. However, adults are not the only people that sexually abuse children. Children do too. So if a 16-year-old has sex with a 6-year-old, that is sexual abuse. And 43% of sexual crimes against children are committed by other children. So this is something we need to take into cognizance. This is something we need to speak about more often. And this is something we need to educate our children, young and old, about. Physical or noticeable traumas after being sexually abused are not the only effects. We need, those are the physical scars that you might see or might be visible. But imagine the cognitive, social, psychological, and the emotional development of a child is also impacted after this kind of abuse. There are numerous things that will affect a child who has been sexually abused, and all of these factors can affect children differently and at different times and levels of severity. So these include age when abuse occurred, the familiarity between victim and the perpetrator, but we're going to speak a little bit more about that just after that. After this, we have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, my sister? What's your name?
It is Zainab speaking.
Assalamu alaikum. How are you, Sister Zainab?
Alhamdulillah, Sister Tasneem. Sister Tasneem, the cause of abuse in most homes is a cause of drug abuse and alcohol. Those are alcoholics. And Satan is promised Allah that you will lead men astray.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what's happening, because drugs, alcohol, abuse makes making everything go upside down and wrong in the world.
Yes, definitely.
And that is the cause of everything.
That does add to the problem, and I think if the perpetrator is on any kind of substance abuse or alcohol abuse, that would definitely add to the, and I have many cases where this is a very serious, real problem. So, Jazakallah for sharing that with the listeners. Anything else, Sister Zainab?
Just that parents should keep an eye on the children at all times, and from each day, sons, everything about abuse, guide them, teach them the right, the wrong. The mother always be to see things go right in the home. And family relatives also must take a responsibility also to visit, you know, and see that everything is going okay and all right in the home, especially when a person is taking a full-time alcohol.
Yes, definitely. Jazakallah so much important for sharing that very important information with us. Jazakallah, Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Unfortunately, the lines were a bit broken, but basically what Sister Zainab was saying is that the awareness needs to be there, and especially age-appropriate education with regards to empowering our children on how to prevent the incident of sexual abuse. Just continuing from where I left off, so when we were discussing about, you know, the different levels of severity, especially with regards to sexual abuse, it would depend on the age when abuse occurred, the familiarity between victim and perpetrator, which is very often not a stranger, the severity of the abuse, the frequency and duration of the abuse, including the number of perpetrators committing the abuse either at one time or during the victim's life, will impact the survivor's functioning during adulthood. I see many, many adult survivors of sexual abuse. And it's a long road, it's a long journey, but alhamdulillah, I think just speaking up and speaking, you know, within a contained environment where there's confidentiality and safety, alhamdulillah, there has been very good results with regards to counseling and therapy and trying to make sense of these many question marks that we carry with us as from, you know, from the inner child. Another interesting fact is that sexual abuse by familiar individuals, which most often are relatives, is more severe than sexual abuse by strangers or acquaintances. I mean, 60% of South African children are sexually abused by someone in their social circle. And these stats are shocking. Our children are the future of South Africa and they need to be protected. So we need to be rethinking this whole stranger danger concept. And I know there's been a lot of hype in the media and a lot of stress and anxiety amongst parents with regards to child trafficking and abductions, but we normally train our children in terms of, you know, don't speak to strangers, don't take sweets from strangers. So we need to rethink this whole phrase. You know, stranger danger, it sounds cute, it's short, it's simple, it even rhymes. But is it really the most effective abduction prevention lesson for our children? Because according to the stats, besides abduction, just sexual abuse stats, it speaks about how 60% of South African children are sexually abused by someone in their social circle. Which means that this is not a stranger, right? So children do not understand the concept of a stranger. Many believe that strangers are mean, ugly, monster people, you know, so the nice man asking for help to find his lost puppy, or a nice uncle handing you a lovely bar of chocolates or sweets, this doesn't become a stranger then. Children don't understand the concept of stranger. Children also learn that some strangers, like store clerks or police officers or parents with children, are seen to be helpful. It may be hard for them to understand the difference between strangers who could hurt them and strangers who may help them. So most importantly, stranger danger ignores the fact that most children are abducted by someone they know or abused by someone they know. So avoiding strangers will not help if the abductor is a family member, if it's a neighbor or family acquaintance. So when you talk to your children about abduction prevention, don't focus on warning them about certain types of people. Instead, teach them to identify and respond to threatening situations. And this is our gut feeling. This is our intuition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us as insan, as human beings, with these emotions. And we need to be more attuned and more aware of these bodily sensations that we start feeling, of anxiety, of stress, of, you know, when we start sensing the danger. So I think the new message that we need to teach to our children is to say goodbye to stranger danger. Try using the following language when talking to your child about abduction prevention. And you could say maybe, so don't say never talk to strangers. Say rather, you should not approach just anyone. So if you need help, look for a uniformed police officer or a store clerk with a name tag, or a parent with a child. Don't just say never talk to strangers. Another thing we should avoid when teaching our children how to prevent abduction or sexual abuse, don't say stay away from people you don't know. Say it's important for you to get my permission before going anywhere with anyone. You can tell somebody, you know, a lot of times we might say you can tell someone is bad just by looking at them. We teach our children how to judge a book by its cover, and this is not very healthy. Rather say, pay attention to what people do. Tell me right away if anyone asks you to keep a secret, make you feel uncomfortable, or tries to get you to go with them. These are more helpful tips and tools to equip our children with. We have another call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. If you don't mind, can you help me if you give it a therapy or something?
Yes, sure. Would you like to speak to my engineer, and then he would give you details? Is there anything you'd like to add to the show while you're on air, because you're live now?
You see, my father abuses me, he takes the broom and hits me, and my mother also hits me with a shoe and net, like, sometimes.
Okay, we're going to speak to you in a moment. I'm going to leave you with my engineer, putting you back to my engineer, and he'll take your details. Okay. Okay, that's good. So, so these are the things that we need to teach our children. In addition to these conversations, we need to use role-playing scenarios, especially with little children. It really helps if we have role-playing scenarios to help your child practice, you know, to use these prevention skills. And the more children practice, the better prepared they will be in response to any emergency situation. Okay. Moving on with the show, I think let's just talk about ways, you know, to teach your child the skills to prevent sexual abuse, because the ones we just spoke about now were more to prevent abduction, but inshallah, let us speak about some of the ways and skills in order to prevent sexual abuse. So many times we teach our children all sorts of ways, you know, to keep themselves safe. We teach them to watch the hot stove, or don't touch the hot heater, you're going to get burnt. We teach them to look both ways before they cross the street. But more often than not, body safety is not taught until much older, until sometimes it's too late. And I can understand why, because these are uncomfortable topics to speak about, even on one-on-one situations. So even in a child-parent relationship, sometimes we feel it's not necessary to go there, or we're going to open up a can of worms, or we don't want to, you know, put things in our child's head. But research conducted by Centers of Disease Control estimate that approximately 1 in 6 boys and 1 in 4 girls are sexually abused before the age of 18. You know, this is shocking. And you want to hear even something scarier? According to, okay, this is U.S. stats, right? According to the U.S. Department of Justice, only 10% of perpetrators were strangers to the child, and 23% of perpetrators were children themselves. So these are really shocking stats. We know in South African statistics, 60% of perpetrators are within the child's social circle. So we really need to look into this and really need to, you know, skill our children and give them tools in order for them to respond in the most appropriate ways in these very difficult situations. So these statistics do not surprise me. In my practice, I meet children on a weekly basis who have been victims of sexual abuse, many of them sometimes under the age of 10. Almost all of them know their perpetrator, and more often than not, sometimes it's another child. So parents will frequently tell me that they didn't think that this could happen to them, that they never leave their children with strangers, that they always keep their children within their eyesight. But think about this. Do your children go on play dates? Do they go to daycare or preschool? Do you have friends or family over to your house, or even, you know, family members? Many of the abuses happen between stepchildren or stepfathers, you know, who are the perpetrators, not in all cases, but many a times. Sometimes stepchildren acting out on the other children in the house. So we can't keep our children in bubbles or bubble wrap them, but we need to equip them with knowledge, because ilm is empowering. And the fact is, you cannot fully prevent the risk of your child being sexually abused. The children I've worked with have come from good neighborhoods and good homes and go to really good schools. I've worked with children who have been sexually abused on play dates, on sleepovers, in the classroom, in the madrasa classrooms, on the playgrounds, maybe in a school bus, you know, in anywhere, even in the safety of their homes or in the backyards. We can arm children with knowledge that might save them from being further victimized. So now that I've officially scared you to death, let's walk you back down from that cliff. We have to allow our children to go out into the world and interact with those around them. I think it's very, very important. But inshallah, we'll speak more about this after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and you're back on Adhikrayat with me. I'm your host, Tasneem, and today we're speaking all about abuse. Very scary statistics out there, not only in South Africa, but globally speaking, you know, statistics are shockingly scary. But, you know, I don't mean to scare you to death, and I want to take you back, and, you know, let's allow our children to go out into the world and interact with those around them, but we need to equip them with knowledge. Knowledge, ilm is the light. Ilm empowers us. And, you know, we can arm them with this knowledge. And you'll be able to save them from being victimized, inshallah. parents not always talk to their children about body safety early enough. So I think it's very important that we sit down today with our children and speak about these very important issues. They think kids are too young. A lot of times we as mothers think our children are too young, or it's too scary, or, you know, it can never be soon enough. It doesn't have to be a scary conversation. Let me break it down for you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have a caller on the line.
Alaikum salam, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Assalamu alaikum.
I went through that, you know, our deen Islam has taught us all to have shame, haya. And when our kids are exposed to TV, which most of the ulama say is haram, they get exposed to all this evil things and all the sexual things like you mentioned. And also, I don't think this is a correct platform to use this language and things like that, because why? Islamically, there's supposed to be a lot of haya in our deen, and we have platforms where with haya we can address these issues. I understand it's a big problem. It's a major problem, but we should use the correct method. That's why women should dress modestly. All that is to protect our children and our family and people from getting the wrong, in the wrong direction, if you can call it. That if we dress our children modestly, if we teach them the correct manners, we don't expose them to TV and all these haram avenues, then Allah Ta'ala has created the Sharia that will protect us.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah so much for that beautiful call. I think it's so important that we speak about these issues more openly and more often, and, you know, raise these conversations on whatever platform or media platform that we've been given, because I think the message needs to go out there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not shy away from topics like this. So we as an ummah should not shy away from topics like this, because this is all about prevention. And if we don't speak about things like this, it's going to get swept under the carpets, like how it has been over the years, because I sit with child adult survivors of child sexual abuse, and I'm going to call a spade, because that's what it is. Unfortunately, this is the times that we're living in, and I think it's about time that we step outside of our bubbles in order for us to understand what is really happening out in the world there. So I think the more we talk about it to our children, I think the more equipped they'll be about things like this. I think it's very important for us to talk about haya and modesty and shame, and that is why the brother pointed out that we have the concept of hijab, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, clearly says in the Quran that this is a commandment from Allah. So I think it's essentially very important to speak to our girl children as well as our boy children about body parts and how to cover up these very precious body parts, and teaching them about the privacy and the modesty with regards to our private, with regards to our body parts and our private parts, and calling the body parts what they meant to be called, calling a spade, basically. So I think it's also very, very important to teach your child about body boundaries, telling your child the matter-of-factly that no one should touch their private parts. And, you know, maybe you feel this is not the best platform to speak about this, but I think this is a show for mothers and parents in general, so we can equip our children with the correct knowledge and the skills and the tools in order for them to prevent things like this from happening in our community, because we can't keep our heads in the sand, because this is rife within our Muslim community. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Kishni.
Wa alaikum assalam. Welcome back, Sister Zainab.
Jazakallah. I just want to quickly read out something to all those that has been abused.
Go ahead, Sister Zainab. Jazakallah so much.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Somewhere someone is raising their hands to whisper your name in prayer. May you feel Allah's love, forgiveness, blessings, and tender care, today and always. And also, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, all mankind eat of the awful and good things from what is in the earth and from...
Unfortunately, that call was got cut. If Sister Zainab is still listening, you can call back and share those beautiful words with the listeners. I'm sure we all would like to hear it and benefit from it. So moving on from the tips on how to prevent our children from being exposed to situations like this, we also need to tell our children that body secrets are not okay. Most perpetrators will tell the child to keep the abuse a secret. They'll say things like, I love playing with you, but if you tell anyone else what we played, then you won't be able to come over anymore. You must remember, this is a sickness. it goes beyond what, you know, we speak about haya, we speak about modesty, and rape is a hate of crime. They don't look at what you're wearing or what you're not wearing. Obviously, certain types of clothes does incite certain behavior in certain people, but we need to understand that these sexual acts that are acted out on young children and innocent people, these are acts of crime, and it comes from a place, a sick place, a place of sickness that needs to be treated. And the perpetrator is the person that needs to be most in therapy, but because of them, other people end up being in therapy. So this comes from a place of sickness. You know, we need to speak about it, we need to be aware of it, and we need to equip our children and ourselves as the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in order to stop this and prevent this from happening any further, because we need to stop the cycle of abuse. Another important thing that we need to tell our children, especially in the digital age that we live in, is not to take pictures of themselves, especially not of their private parts or their parts that need to be concealed. So 100% we need to teach our children haya, we need to teach them hijab, we need to teach them how to dress appropriately in front of family members or in front of strangers. But most importantly, tell your children that no one should take pictures of their private parts, no one should take pictures of themselves and post it out there on social media. This is the one often missed by parents. There is a whole sick world out there of pedophiles who love to take and trade pictures of naked children online, and this is an epidemic. And it puts your child at risk. So we need to take our heads out of the sand and be more contemporary and know what's happening out there in this world that we live in. All is not bad. Alhamdulillah, Islam came at a time, the Quran was revealed at a time when female infants were being buried alive in the desert because it just wasn't beneficial to have a girl child. It was a time of ignorance, not only in Arabia, but literally all across the world at that time. This was the standard around the world. This was the norm. At that time, women were being treated as objects of property. The Quran gave women the right to education. The Quran gave women the right to choose who you want to marry, the right to divorce if need be, the right to keep your father's name or family name after marriage, the right to keep your income as financial security and freedom, and the right to inheritance. So let's not confuse culture with religion. My darling sisters, you think you have a raw deal because culturally your husband oppresses you or culturally he abuses you. Know your rights and know your worth, dear Muslimah, because this is something that we need to speak about openly, like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did about all issues concerning society and people in general. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the best psychologist humanity has ever known, and we should not be shying away from topics like this. That brings me to the end of today's show. A very difficult show to host. But inshallah, let us just get the word out there. And inshallah, let us stop the abuse, the cycle, this vicious cycle of abuse. Allah sees everything. Allah hears everything. Allah is with the patient ones. But you need to speak up and we need to stop the cycle of abuse. From me and my engineer, Brother Shuaib, it brings us to the end of the show. Fi amanillah. Until we meet again next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.